So Harris Faulkner is speaking out about that awkward exchange, the silent exchange, you could say, or at least it went to silence on Fox News yesterday when Newt Gingrich was on there. Joe Biden flip-flopping again on the national mask mandate. He also had a town hall last night in CNN, which was quite a breeze for him. I don't think it helps him, though. It was very easy for him, but I don't think it helps him in the long run. Plus, former police officer Ray Dietrich joins us to talk about that and much more. It all starts right now. It's Friday. Here we are. Something different, right? Because we're not normally here Friday. We are starting to transition into doing Friday. So there's good news in that sense. Some bad news that we've got a couple schedule hiccups that we're going to work around next week. So it's still going to be about the normal amount of shows next week. But we'll get some extra clips out. But moving forward, we're planning to spend some time with you on Friday and keep this thing going. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great day if you're at the end of it. We've got a lot to get to. So we talked about our nation's emotionally weak and unstable yesterday when we talked about that Baylor University 9/11 memorial display that triggered a lot of people. And, not surprising, disappointing that people had to be warned about this. But we've got another event that deals with emotionally weak people that are easily triggered. There's a professor and his wife, actually, who is also a professor, both professors, professor couple, at Skidmore College in New York. And they're under fire because, and this guy, Dave Peterson is his name. I forget his wife's name, but they are married. Dave Peterson, been teaching there for 31 years, decided that he wanted to attend a Back the Blue, of course, a pro-law enforcement march or rally that was happening in Saratoga Springs, New York. He and his wife were curious. They said they went, supporting our law enforcement officers, as we all should. See the thin blue line flag there in the footage. But now, in an email circulating around campus, there's students saying, quote, I and other Skidmore students witnessed Professors David Peterson and Andrea Peterson, there's her name, at an anti-Black Lives Matter protest. Not accurate. It's not accurate. We demand the immediate dismissal of both Skidmore staff members for engaging in hateful conduct that threatens Black Skidmore students. And I guess it turns out that Peterson, Andrea, the wife, is not actually at that particular school. Since that event has happened, Peterson's come back. There's been signs on his door, all sorts of disparaging comments about him. Something said stop by a sign said stop by entering this class. You're crossing a campus-wide picket line and breaking the boycott against Professor David Peterson. How dare they? He's spoken out saying, this is crazy. This cancel culture is crazy. People just flip the switch and hate your guts instantly. Yeah, welcome to 2020. Welcome to New America. That's sadly how that works, Professor Peterson. But again, you go back to this email. We demand, these are college kids, right? College kids. Hopefully they will turn out. Some of these are not going to, I can tell you right now. But hopefully some of these kids at the school will turn out and be beneficial, productive members of society. But these ones here are not going to be. When you think that you matter enough to send a note to your school and demand, as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever you are, demand that a professor be removed, fired, his livelihood taken away, just because he has a different opinion than you. And when you spin this stuff out of control, he was at an anti-Black Lives Matter rally. No. There was a listing that you could see, and you could still see online, I believe, for the Back the Blue rally on Facebook, probably other outlets as well. But you could see the information, what it was going to be, where it was going to be. Backing our law enforcement officers, yes, there was clashes even at that event. There was altercations, verbal and physical, that happened because that's America these days. But the point remains that backing law enforcement officers should not be controversial. It's not. It's not controversial. If you think it is, you're wrong. You're doing this whole thing wrong. If you're scared to do it because you're scared of backlash, you're also wrong. Who cares what people like this say? Who cares what a college kid says? Who cares what if Black Lives Matter wants to be hateful towards the police, obviously they are, that's their prerogative. It's stupid. They're a violent Marxist group, and they should be punished for all their behavior and their actions. But we can all have our own opinions, and it's not controversial to support law enforcement officers when 99.9% of them are outstanding individuals, law-abiding citizens themselves, and put others before themselves on a daily basis. It's, you know, the instability of this generation emotionally, it's taxing. It's taxing to look at. They care only about their own feelings, not the facts, not what's actually happening out there. Just what they're feeling in their little hearts at that moment. They claim to love everyone, as the Democrats always do, and this generation does too. Love, peace, equality. But the second that you challenge them, you don't even have to challenge them, in fact. You just have a different opinion. What do you think about this, Drew? Do you like this? Do you think this, that, or the other? Well, no, I think that there's two sides to this story. How dare you? I mean, they flip off the handle. You don't have to even be argumentative about having a different opinion. You can just simply say, I respect your opinion, but I have a different opinion, and you will be canceled for that. You will be shamed for that. You will be yelled at, maybe assaulted for that. I don't suggest assaulting me, but you will be shamed for that. So it's sad to see. Again, I'm glad that there's rallies out there. These rallies should not be to push back and have altercations with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Let them shoot themselves in the foot. They're doing a hell of a job. They're really, if they're good at anything in life, if there's one thing that members of Antifa and Black Lives Matter are contributing to society, it's showing the rest of us and waking up others who were not willing to pay attention to what's going on or talk about what's going on. And it's showing that we don't want that. America doesn't want anything to do with the likes of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. So every time I say that they don't bring value to society, they're not worth it, that's mostly true. But the one silver lining is they're showing us exactly what not to be and what we don't want to become as a country. All right, guys, you need to check out Mammoth Nation. It's America's discount, conservative discount club. They're on a mission to get President Trump reelected, support the police, and keep liberal Democrats out of office. And they really mean it, folks. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. You can go to mammothnation.com right now. It's just $19 a year to join for an annual membership. Here's what you get. You get tons of awesome discounts. So it's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate or a political party. You do your annual subscription, and you're gonna darn near pay for it if you don't, for sure, in your first purchase, getting these awesome discounts. You're also automatically entered into the Mammoth Election Day sweepstakes. Great prizes. First prize being a 65-inch Samsung Ultra High Def 4K TV. Pretty amazing stuff. Keurig, Bose speakers. There's great prizes. And if you join and become a lifetime member right now, take that extra step. They'll also send you a Trump flag and some other goodies. So head on over to mammothnation.com right now and join the fight. All right, let's get to it. Let's cruise the headlines. So we talked about yesterday, and we showed the clip, and a lot of you are talking about it as well. The Ladies on Outnumbered had former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich on the show. And they were talking about the violence in the streets and everything else that's going on in this broken world of ours. And things got awkward when Gingrich, fairly and appropriately, considering what they were talking about, brought up George Soros' name. A couple of the ladies said, we're not going to talk about that. Let's not go there. And then we saw the clip. Harris Faulkner just went silent. Instead of stepping up and explaining how they were just going to move on, defending Newt, defending her co-hosts, she just went silent as if she was being told not to say anything. Just shut up, Harris. Shut up. Let's get to break. And then she came out and, you know, lots of confusion because it did. It very much, you saw the clip yesterday. And if you didn't see it on our show, maybe you've seen it somewhere else. But you had women defending Soros, essentially, by saying, let's not go there. And then you had Harris, who tends to be the most level-headed person on that show and is the longest tenured veteran on that particular show, not stand up and voice reason there. And it really did. My sense is, at least when I saw it the first time, my sense was, I should say, she was being told, shut your mouth, don't say anything. We know where you think. We know where you align on this. Don't do it. Big Daddy Soros is got his hands in Fox News, and we can't upset him. We can't. That's what came off to a lot of people. Anyways, Fast forward, she's come out, filmed a statement on all of the debate over this. This was it, roll one.
So we had a little incident on the show yesterday that was not smooth. And while I was leading that segment, we had interruptions, and I sat silently while all of that played out. Also not ideal. Our guest, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who is beloved and needed to be allowed to speak with the openness and respect that the show is all about, was interrupted. Do we debate with fire here? Yes. But we must also give each other the space to express ourselves. As the only original member of the six-year-old amazing daytime ride known as Outnumbered, I especially want to rock and roll with every voice and perspective at the table. We don't censor on this show. And that's why we're winning weekdays at noon.
But you did yesterday. So I don't know what your take is on this. My take is, slow pause at the beginning. This is a very scripted thing, which is fine. You can have scripted responses to something. You can clarify points with scripted notes, whatever. But it was very scripted, felt forced. We're going to rock and roll. I want to rock and roll. I maintain where I was yesterday on this after seeing that. You know, I was hoping that it would be, yes, it was awkward. It didn't go well. You identified that, but you also didn't really fix the, you know, what happened. You didn't explain much about it. And the concerns, because of that, are going to remain intact. People are going to continue to think, because they can see it and they can hear it with the products that Fox is putting out, with the exception of maybe Fox and Friends and the evening shows, Fox trending left. They see George Soros's involvement. There's documentation about George Soros's involvement with what's going on in the streets, whether it's helping put attorney generals in place, whether it's funding and being involved, whether he's the main one, the only one, or one of several with the riots and the violence that we see in the streets across America. But you could totally see him, like we talked about yesterday, getting his hands in Fox News and starting to push it slowly, strategically left to pull the wool over a lot of viewers and consumers' eyes. So I wasn't thrilled with that. I wasn't thrilled with her scripted response there. I don't think it did a whole lot to fix what happened on the show earlier this week. But moving on to Biden, we're going to get to Biden a lot later in the next couple blocks of the show, because he had this town hall event last night. But before we get there, he's gone back and forth on this mass debate. We're going to, and you see it. You see it in all the commercials, and we've talked about it here on the show. He's backed his tune up on it, but all of his campaign ads still talk about day one, we're going to put in a national mask mandate. And that was something that he was hitting on the stump early on, saying we're going to do it. Then he came out and said, well, I don't know if constitutionally I can actually do that, so I'm going to back down on it, and we'll leave it up to state and local officials. Now he's back to, no, I think that we can. I think that we can issue a mask mandate, given a couple points that lean in our favor, so they think. You know, we've talked with legal, we've talked with staff members, and now we think we can do it. So now he's kind of getting back on that track. And my, you know, first of all, I'd say this, good luck if you do that. If you think that's what America wants, it shows how out of touch you are with America, which Democrats always are, they always have been. But more importantly, and this goes for both sides, think before you speak. Like, come on, Joe. Like, I know that's it's pointless for me to even say that to you. But you've gotta be smart. You're running to be, and you shouldn't be. It's a tragic disaster that you're running to be president, and that people are letting you do it, and that the DNC chose you to be their candidate and forced out others that would have stood a much better shot of making some form of a push to get the Democrats back in office. But think before you speak. You say we're going to do this defiantly, frequently, all the time. It's a consistent message. Then you realize you can't do it, which is a problem, because you should know what you can and can't do, especially you who's been in government for 47 years. You've accomplished nothing. But you should at least know some of the different rules and policies in place and what you can and can't do and how the laws work, the Constitution works, etc. But he didn't. Then he comes out and says he can't do this, So he's not going to. And now he said, I've talked with legal and we think we can. So there's two problems there, which have been discussed before. One, you're showing very visibly and obviously flip-flopping, not consistency, not what America wants, not what America needs. You're showing you don't know the rules, and you're showing that you are desperate to push this through with your initial statements and now finding ways to make it happen, which I'll give you points for cleverness and persistence, but you're trying to force a square peg in a round hole. That's not what America wants. America doesn't want to have to leave their house and wear a mask anywhere and everywhere whenever they go out. I'm not going to get into the debate of whether they work or don't. I'm just going to tell you that that's not what America wants on an aggregate level. So there's failure all around. And you, with less than, what, less than 50 days left, need to show Americans, and you're not going to have time to do it because you don't have it in you, but you need to show America that you and your team actually have your crap together, but you don't. You don't. And it's not good. It's not a good look. Speaking of crap, so that segue worked out perfectly here. I didn't even plan that. It's just, it's Friday. Things are working. So political season, you get tons of phone calls. You get tons of crap in your mail, right? You get, that's just par for the course. Robocalls, surveys, flyers. If you're the Democrats are lucky, a bunch of bogus mail-in ballots that are universal and require no verification or ID check, and you can just pass them out like it's Halloween and let people vote for whatever. But you get tons of crap in your mail. But in Maine, they are literally getting crap in their mail because there is a woman in Hampton up there where the police department is on the hunt for her because she hates Trump. Shocker. She hates Trump. And she's been taking and putting, she's been riding a purple bike. I think we've got a tweet with a picture of her. Looking to help local law enforcement here. They're looking for her, but she's been riding this bike, riding around and putting dog crap in people's mailboxes if they support Trump, have a sign, a flag, poster, any sort of indication that they are pro-Trump, pro-conservative values, pro-America. This angry Karen has decided that she would put it upon herself to go ahead and put dog feces in those mailboxes. So just had to share it with you. Pretty interesting story. Not surprising in this day and age from the left. Not surprising at all. But beware if you're up there. Beware when you go to open your mailbox. Don't just reach in there blindly. Don't be like on the phone, you know, talking to someone and reach in like... Be on your toes because you don't want that on your hands. Okay. Well, we got you. Go to drewberkowitz.com each and every day, folks. We greatly would appreciate if you did. Tons of great content there for you to read and share away. Lots of sources. Our staff, some other people, partners, their content flowing through there. So good stuff. You can also watch the show there if you'd prefer, with the whether it's the clip or the full episode, what have it. Well, we've got you also. You can see the Facebook, Twitter, Parler logos down there. Give us a like and a follow if you haven't already. We greatly appreciate it. Helps us get our message out. Share away with friends and family. And if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, you can do so right down here in the corner. Please do so. And if you want to get notifications anytime we upload something new, which is typically in the afternoons, but you never know. It's Friday today. We're doing a new episode. We're going to have another fun clip that's going to come out later in the day. So you just never know. So click that bell icon and it'll notify you each and every time that we do it. All right, we're going to get to that Biden town hall. We're going to do two different segments on it. One we'll talk about first just on our own, and then we'll bring in Ray Dietrich to talk about it for the second part. Stick around.
Mammoth Nation is the discount club for conservatives. You get great discounts on name brand products and services, and the proceeds help candidates who support the right causes. Plus, the money you save from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Liberal Democrats are destroying America, and we can't let Joe Biden be president. It's time to join the fight. Strength in numbers. We give the silent majority a resounding voice. Go to mammothnation.com and let's win this fight together.
All right, let's get into some Biden. Town Hall. Before we do, though, real quick, the segment brought to you by Hero Soap Company. Awesome products, guys. You can see it right here. If you're listening, just trust me. It's awesome. Packaging's killer. You need to check them out. They're a veteran-owned company. Put a huge focus on helping getting homeless veterans off the street. They work in conjunction with Operation Finally Home to do that. And their soap's off the chain, folks. It's literally an amazing product. I use it every day, and I'm not just saying that. I really do. It's awesome. It's natural, all natural made with essential oils. None of the fragrance and chemicals that other companies out there use and are harmful to your body. So support a veteran-owned company. It's made here in the USA. It's made with real products. So what not to like? They also help get homeless veterans off the street. So head on over to HeroSoapCompany.com and subscribe for a no-contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your front door and never run out again. Again, it's HeroSoapCompany.com. Let freedom clean. All right. Biden and Harris have pushed this whole social distancing thing that we talked mask mandates earlier in the show. We've talked about it 100 times before that on the show. And their whole narrative is always, anytime that you are seen in public, make sure you've got a mask on because Trump doesn't wear one. So we're going to take the full on mask approach. We're going to push it hardcore. So make sure you do that. Make sure you push fear, pump fear, steady amount of fear. Like if we could somehow have fear particles dropping out of the rafters into people, it would be even better. Just scare the crap out of people. So they've done that, and they've pushed that a ton, unless the cameras are off. This was last night at the Town Hall Rule 2.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more questions from our audience for former Vice President Joe Biden. Thanks.
So lots of people talking about that today. Biden. Now, in fairness, there's a possibility that Biden forgot that we were in a pandemic and thus, you know, he likes to touch people. He likes to be close. He likes to smell people. So he just got close and then maybe realized seconds later. But it shows that, guys, this is real. I've had it. I've told you I had it. I still can't smell things, which I still think is kind of a blessing in disguise in some regards. But it's not. It's not something to be as scared of as they're pushing. It's okay to kind of go on with life with a little bit of a different approach, maybe in some areas. But he shows that there. He gets close. It kind of seems like Anderson didn't want him to. Maybe Anderson knew this wasn't going to look good, and he's getting roasted for it on social today. But into the substance of the town hall. This thing, if you watched it, if you didn't, you didn't miss a whole lot. But it was softball, lob ball, whatever you want to. Whatever phrase you want to go with, questions the whole night. Very, very easy. Kind people asking, by the way, who didn't challenge him. Anderson Cooper didn't challenge back as soon as former Vice President Biden gave his answer. He didn't then question him and say, well, no, that's not true. And then challenge. Like, it was very easy. It was a layup. It just was a nice casual swim in the pool for Joe Biden. You know, again, no angry rebuttals, no disrespect, no fact-checking going on. Just let me ask you an easy question that's prepared, scripted. You answer it, something that you've rehearsed or at least remember well enough to answer, and then we'll go from there. And you got people in the crowd, just like you do in all town halls and like you did at President Trump's last week, or earlier this week. I don't even remember what day it is anymore. But earlier when he was in Philadelphia, you've got people from both sides-ish answering, but not last night. He got 16 questions, 13 from Democrats, and 3 from Republicans. So that seems a little stilted in one direction. And they were easy questions. Again, they were easy questions. But there's lots of different segments. We're going to talk about the law enforcement parts of it, which I think you're going to really enjoy in the next segment with Ray Dietrich, who's a former law enforcement officer. Amazing person. Great human, patriot, all that. But here's some other clips that will kind of just break down and walk you through the evening. It was obviously a long session, so we can't show you the whole thing. But this was one on healthcare. And then Biden, as he usually does, goes off on a bunch of other stuff, gets angry, lies about stuff. This was one instance, Rule 3.
I want you to meet Kristen Szymanski. She works for a family-owned chocolate manufacturing company in Dunmore. She's a Democrat. Kristen, welcome.
Good evening. My mother was diagnosed with multiple myeloma 2 years ago at the age of 66. The cost of her care has been astronomical. However, my family has been fortunate that both she and my father had long careers at good companies that afforded them the opportunity to save for retirement, which is helping to pay for her care. Mr. Vice President, what is your plan to make health care affordable so Americans don't need to drain their savings when care is necessary?
First of all, in the middle of this pandemic, what's the president doing? He's in federal court, trying to do away with the Affordable Care Act. 100 million people with pre-existing conditions like your mom would not have to pay more for their insurance under now. But guess what happens if in fact, he wins? That's number one. Number two, what I would do is make sure that we reinstate the Affordable Care Act, number one, and add a public option to that Affordable Care Act so that nobody in the United States of America would go without being able to be covered for what they need. With regard to COVID, for example, I don't want to get too my son died of cancer. He came home from Iraq, and I have to tell you, it really, really offended me when he volunteered to go there for a year, and he came home because of stage 4 glioblastoma. And the president referred to guys like my son, he won the Bronze Star, the Conspicuous Service Medal, referred to them as losers. Losers. Talk about losers. My point is this. The idea that health care is debated as whether or not it's a right or a privilege, it's an absolute right. And so we have to make sure, particularly in the moment of COVID, that any costs relating to COVID are, in fact, free. The federal government guarantees be taken care of. One of the reasons why people aren't going in and getting tested is they're afraid of the bill they're going to receive. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And with your mom, it's a different multiple myeloma is a difficult, difficult disease to care for. And that's why one of the things I've done, I'm going on too much about cancer. I apologize. But one of the things that I.
So, first of all, just listen to this. Anytime it always gets me excited when I hear Joe starting to either do a numbering sequence or a lettering sequence for his points, because very frequently he doesn't execute them well. First off, this. Second, this, which is first. Okay? It's not 1-2-1. But anyways, the president is fighting to get rid of Obamacare because it was an awful plan. An awful plan, a failed plan, doesn't mean that there's parts of it that couldn't be used in a better plan. That's never been the point. Because there's good in everything. There's parts of it you can pluck out of that, pluck out of the old, make a new plan that does work for more people on a better scale. But that's why he's fighting about that. But these lies of coming, and there's multiple lies and talking points that he spewed all night. Like most of the answers weren't heartfelt. They were talking points. And I am terribly sorry about Bo and his unfortunate and tragic death. But Joe Biden, if you'll notice, frequently brings that up because obviously it's a sore spot in his heart. It would be in any parent's heart or any loved one's heart. But he brings it up and then he throws a lie out there afterwards. He draws you in with sympathy. Feel bad for me. I don't know. He's talked about that almost every damn speech or appearance he's had lately. But it brings you in, makes you likable, people sympathetic to you. And then he spews lies, which everyone who is in that the space around the president during that trip overseas has said that his comments about losers and suckers was not true, was not stated, never heard. And people who are around him in other situations would say that he would not say that. Yes, he goes off the handle sometimes. But that Atlantic piece was a clear hit piece that I'm sure that if you could do some investigation, you would find its way back to the DNC, the Biden campaign pushing it out because there was other stuff going on that they needed distractions from. And that's just not true. And I can tell you, as someone who operated overseas under Obama and Bush, and someone who, you know, we're talking to Ray later, he can talk to how law enforcement feels under those presidents, under this president, what people are saying now. And the community I'm not there anymore, but the community, the operators that are out there on the mill side, the intel side, and I know this is true for law enforcement too, they love being able to do their jobs. They love being able to do their jobs and having a president that lets them do their jobs. If we're going to be somewhere, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. You're trained to do this, we're going to let you do it. Under Obama and Biden, we were trained to do it, given a mission, you get there, and then you're told you can't do it because of these rules that prevent you from doing the mission. It's ridiculous. His President Trump's stance towards the military, law and order, national security, protecting our border, all of that has had the country in mind first and foremost, the people doing it. So it's ridiculous. And I'm sick of hearing that sympathetic cry for attention, drawing people in and then shoving some lie down your throat. Because you admittedly, I'm sure there's people right now who are, how dare you bring that up? But someone's got to push back and say, yes, it sucks that you lost someone. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to be the unhealthy person that you are now, Joe, either. I'm a decent human, because that's how decent humans are. I just don't think that you're fit to be president. But it's ridiculous when you try and connect with people on something over and over and over again and then shove a lie down their throat and expect them to believe it because you've pushed down there. I just think it's ridiculous. But he had several gaffes throughout the night. He always does. This was one stuttering spot that we'll just, since we were a little serious there, we'll get a little less serious for a second. This was one of his gaffes, Rule 4.
And psychologists in our schools. We learned drug abuse doesn't cause mental illness. Mental stress and mental illness cause drug abuse. We've learned so much that we could change so much. And that's why we ought to have to make sure that the super wealthy start paying their fair share. So we can do the things we have to do to make life better for hardworking middle class folks.
You referenced some.
I just can't wait for the debates. I can't wait for the debates, y'all. It's going to be so damn good. It's going to be so good. Because he's going to get some really good points across. He will. Not good points. Let me rephrase that. He's going to execute some of his points well. They probably will not be truthful or logical points. But he will articulate them well. He will do it in a way where the left will eat it up and like it and praise him for what he said, even though it's garbage. But there's going to be so many gaffes. There's going to be so many moments of anger. There's going to be just so much to watch. I'm telling you. I'm more excited for the 29th, the first one, assuming it happens, which I just hope it does, than I typically am for a football game of importance, and really any football game, because I'm just, but you get the point. I'm excited about it. It's going to be good. This was one last clip, and then we'll get to the break and touch on the rest of the town hall with Ray. But this was an exchange on Attorney General William Barr's comments. Anderson Cooper tosses this out here. Rule 5.
The comments by the Attorney General contribute to people, I mean, encourage people not to wear masks.
Sure, I mean, quite frankly, they're sick. Think about it. Did you ever, ever think, any of you, you'd hear Attorney General say that following the recommendations of the scientific community to save your and other people's lives is equivalent to slavery, people being put in chains? You lost your freedom because he didn't act. The freedom to go to that ball game, the freedom your kid to go to school, the freedom to see your mom or dad in the hospital, the freedom just to walk around your neighborhood because of failure to act responsibly. This is, it just, I, Anderson, I've been doing this a long time. I never, ever, ever thought I would see such a thoroughly, totally irresponsible administration. It's just, it's almost, it's one of the reasons why, if you take a look, the Pew Foundation poll, guess what? Russia, Putin, China, Xi Jinping are trusted by more of the people in the world than the President of the United States of America. And one of the reasons they cite is COVID, the way he's handled COVID. This is not only causing us life lost here, it's causing us to lose our influence in ways that are profound.
Oh, Joe. So we lost so much influence and respect towards us during he and Obama's administration. I've told you on the show a million times. I've seen it, witnessed it, experienced it, heard it in conversations overseas with high-level people, seen it in how the rules come down, seen it in how Russia and China in particular, that you referenced, have taken advantage of our weak leadership under Obama and the rules that they knew our people had to follow, and they didn't. So they love those guys. And the poll, about the poll. The poll is when you've got everyone in the media pushing the narrative that Trump is bad and that he's somehow responsible for this virus, which is, of course, ludicrous, and the results of the virus, which is equally ludicrous. Of course the poll's going to say that. That's what you've just told everyone. You've told them what to think and how to vote. And polls are garbage in the first place. But I love that he says, I'm so disappointed. This, in all my years of service, which is a comment to set you up to think that what he says has merit, because I've been around. So whatever I'm about to say here, I've set it up, is going to be true and good. But folks, look at what Joe Biden's done in 47 years. Other than grope people and sniff people, grab a Secret Service agent's girlfriend's breast, stuff like that. Like, what have you done? You've given us lots of gaffes, that's for sure. I mean, you're entertaining. But he always sets all these things up and then tries to slam the president or slam conservatives or slam this, that, and the other. But what have you done, Joe? You've done nothing. Bro, you're not good for this country. You're not the right guy for this. Again, if you guys would have been running Tulsi Gabbard right now, there'd be some really interesting shows that we're having on a daily basis, because I think that she would have been a hell of a candidate and would have made this a hell of a race. It would have made it a candidate versus candidate race, not a we like Trump or we don't like Trump race. Because no one likes you, Joe. They're just using you as a prop to try and get through, beat Trump on an anti-Trump message, and then push you out of the way and start going progressive, radically left. But, I mean, even the feedback from this thing, though, is even some center-left publications out there said that this was too easy for him, lob ball questions. And it's not going to help him. It's really not. And I forget who said it this morning. I think it was Byron York who said it. This doesn't set him up well for the debates. He needs some challenges. He hasn't done tough interviews with people. He's done rigged, set up interviews with people. He's had teleprompters for basic Q&As. He's had note cards for freestyle basic conversations outside with those veterans. You got to know all these things inside and out. He doesn't. He's not getting tested or challenged by the people in the crowd asking questions, certainly not by Anderson Cooper. So he's going to have another thing coming when Trump comes at him. Chris Wallace isn't going to be easy on him either. He won't be easy on either of them, but it's going to be tricky. I don't think he set himself up. And when the bullets are flying, accusations, tough questions, I think he's going to really struggle. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to keep going with Biden, but we're going to talk about it from the law enforcement angle. You know, now that he's finally addressing how most law enforcement officers are good, yes, even though he's also been a proponent for defunding the police. He's finally talking about how violence is bad. Obviously, Joe, it's been bad the whole time, dude. Like, where have you been? It's because the polling looks bad, right? It's because you're starting to see that lead, even though it's not real, that fictitious lead narrow. So we'll get into all that. We'll talk with Ray Dietrich, who's a great guy, former law enforcement officer. That's all coming up. Stick around.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
All right. right, let's keep the Biden train going here. Been talking about him, been talking about his town hall, and we're now joined by former law enforcement officer, good friend of the show, Ray Dietrich. Ray, good to see you.
Hey, what's up, Drew? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we've been talking Biden, but his town hall last night, there was, as you can imagine, and if you saw, lots of discussion about law enforcement, the violence in the streets. Of course, Uncle Joe's kind of coming back around and now saying that violence isn't good, even though he was silent for about 100 days. But there were several clips, and I'm going to roll this first one, then we'll discuss it. But, well, we'll just do this. Let's roll six, and then we'll talk about it.
Hello, Vice President Biden.
How are you, Mayor?
Black parents across America need to know, how much different will the talk be with our sons and daughters about police interaction under your administration?
It'll be fundamentally different, but let me make it clear. One of the things people say, I know, I understand, as my mother would say, come walk in my shoes for a mile and tell me you understand then. Very few white parents have to turn and say to their kid, once they get their license, make sure if you're pulled over, put both hands on top of the wheel. Don't reach for the glove box. Make sure you do whatever the police officer says. The vast majority of police are decent, honorable people. One of the things I've found is the only people who don't like bad cops more than we don't like them are police officers. And so what we have to do is we have to have a much more transparent means by which we provide for accountability within police departments. As President of the United States, what I will do, I will nationally bring together police chiefs, police officers, the union people, the African-American leadership, the communities, the brown communities, the civil rights leaderships, to sit at a table and agree on basic fundamental things that have to be done, including much more rigorous background checks on those who apply for and become police officers. Two, teaching people how to de-escalate. Three, providing for a 911 calls like what happened in Lancaster, making sure that you have psychologists and psychiatrists available to go out to deal with those circumstances. We can change. We started that process before. I'm confident it can work again and again without vilifying. There's bad cops. There's bad police officers. There's bad senators. There's bad congressmen. There are bad docs. There's people who aren't
meeting
standards.
All right, I can't take it anymore. There's definitely bad congressmen and senators. That's for sure. So let's unpack this here, Ray. I mean, he talks about, first of all, we'll start with where he kind of begins. He talks about how it's different being in a black person's shoes and, you know, don't move this way, don't respond this way, 10 and 2, don't be shuffling around. I was taught that too growing up. Isn't that just common sense for protecting yourself and the officers? Like, hey, this is your situation now. I'm calling. Like, am I wrong there?
No, you know, I taught my 16-year-old daughters, both of them, when I taught them to drive, on how to be stopped by the police and not make the police more nervous.
Yeah.
It's everyone. It's not. And you know, you go back to the point where, you know, more white people are shot by the police than black people, and they just want to pander and use this as a talking point. It's I'm so glad you paid this clip, though, because there's so much to unpack on this. I saw this last night, about drove me insane.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine, because you've been a law enforcement officer. He talks about that, and then he talks about walking in their shoes and you know, which is obviously something that everyone says for a bunch of different scenarios. But what I think is always missed in this situation, going right back to what we just talked about with how to be pulled over and how to do this and how to handle this to lower the stress for the police officer, people don't understand what it's like to be in your shoes. They don't understand, especially these days where the threat is so high. Like, how do you get that message across to everyday civilians, regardless of color, race, creed, whatever, that, hey, we're doing a really difficult job, like, and you're not getting it?
You know, it's when something happens like it happened in Compton with the LASD deputies being ambushed, that's a good reminder to the public. You know, a lot of people think that cops are rude or standoffish or, you know, don't respond to them when they're waving to them and they don't seem nice. But the reality is, every moment after you leave the police station and you're in your car, you're a target. And the moment you stop thinking you're a target, you become complacent and you can get hurt. So reminders are great for the public. I think the video of an assassin just walking up to two deputies who are sitting in their car and shooting is a good thing for people to see. And I'm glad it's out there wide, because, you know, it's a very stressful job. There's no way you can understand what it's like to go out and do this job where you literally feel like or you have to prepare for every single person you come in contact with possibly trying to kill you and having a plan to react it when they do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what day it was this week, but we were talking again about all those training scenarios where they put civilians, regardless of their politics, regardless of the color, in these scenarios that most, to the civilians' credit, you can't go through the training that you've been through, that I've been through in our respective fields, where you have so many scenarios, you build that muscle memory and you know how to respond in those high adrenaline situations. But those people, every time you throw them in there, they go Rambo style and just kill everybody. Like they have no discipline whatsoever because, again, they don't understand how intense it is when everything is a threat to you and you're just trying to get home to your family.
Yeah, I mean, they do fail. Almost every time they'll come out of there, oh, I had no idea it was going to be like that, after they shot everyone they weren't supposed to. They shot them 10 times in the back, all the things that they like to opine on when they see a police shooting. But, you know, it's just an impossible thing to be able to pass that off to someone unless they have done it. And you know that from your experience. You know, it's one thing to talk about things. It's one thing to watch an 8-second video. It's one thing to listen to people who are so-called experts talk about it. But until you're in those situations, you have no idea what it feels like. And you have no idea what a split-second decision is like being made in those high stress situations that literally could change your entire life.
Yeah. The other thing he brings up there is how he's going to change the hiring process, which, first of all, I don't think anyone can do on that grand of a scale, and certainly not in 4 years. And he wouldn't even make it 4 years. So that's a whole nother discussion. But what does need to be fixed with that process, if anything?
You know, I'm talking from a California standard. And I know a lot of states kind of follow the same things. California is very extensive. It usually takes 6 months. They're out talking to your neighbors. They're scrubbing your social. You're doing polygraphs. You're doing psychs. You're doing in-person interviews where you're basically being interrogated. They go through everything, including your credits, any criminal history, everything. They're, you know, knocking on doors, doing home visits. I honestly don't know what else you could do to screen out the so-called bad apple. I actually worked in internal affairs as a cop, as well as a detective doing internal for officer involved shootings and such. But, you know, there are bad apples. Screening them on the front end is next to impossible because we're talking about humans and human behavior. You know, 800,000 police officers out there on the street every day. Some of them are going to make stupid errors. Some of them are going to be criminals, but it's not something you can necessarily screen because it's human behavior. So it's more about dealing with them as the cases arise.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. This, you know, we're seeing in Minneapolis this week, the city council back in June, you know, voted to disband, dismantle, whatever term, you know, we want to get rid of law enforcement. Now, fast forward 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, and they very predictably and ironically are saying they want police back because you need police. Like, it's just a common sense thing. It's always been the truth and it always will be the truth. But his comment at the end there, which is where I'm kind of going with this, everyone's talking about let's get social workers involved, let's get this, that involved. Things would have been different there, you know, in Lancaster if we had psychologists. Like, the dude was charging a police officer with a knife. Police officer sends him to his dirt nap. Like, yes, there was some trauma there, but like, how ridiculous is it being a law enforcement officer, knowing that you're trained to handle not just this type of case or incident or event, but a very wide array of things, to hear someone say, you know what, we don't need you anymore. We'll just send a social worker there. We'll send a psychologist there.
That would basically, the next call after that happened would be send a deputy out there because we have a dead social worker or a mental health worker or whoever it is. I heard Biden say that live last night, and it's just insane that they pushed this narrative that you can, you know, shift funding into mental health trained professionals and they can handle all the mental health calls or all the family disturbance calls. And then he talks as if Lancaster was the police's problem, like it could have been done differently or handled differently if a social worker went there. They literally showed up. It's on body cam. He comes out with a knife over his head and runs at the officers while he's backpedaling. Any social worker would have been absolutely slaughtered by this guy. It's a false narrative to even pretend that you can send unarmed, untrained people into these calls. Now, there is a place, and a lot of departments do it, like LASD has a mental health team that responds out. Deputies go and secure the scene, secure the person, and then, like, highly trained professionals come out to talk to them. I don't have a problem with that, but saying that you're going to defund or move the funding for police and then sending social workers instead is just absolutely insane. And they don't even believe it. It's just talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I think if you put their feet to the fire behind closed doors, they'd laugh and be like, no, I don't. I think it's an awful idea. I just said that for the crowd. All right. Good stuff there. Let's roll this second clip. This is him talking to, I can't think of the darn town, but it says it right off the bat here, a former sheriff there, Rule 7.
This is Bill Barrett. He's a retired police chief of Wilkes-Barre and a member of the Wilkes-Barre City Council. He's a Democrat. Bill, thanks for being with
us. Chief, didn't I meet you when you were chief?
We did, sir.
That's what pleasure. I thought. Good looking at you like I know.
Good evening, Vice President evening. Biden Anderson. As mentioned, as retired police chief, I am very concerned about the violence taking place in our cities across this country, and especially concerned about the lack of respect shown towards law enforcement officers and military. Can you tell us what your plan is for addressing this situation and bringing our nation back together, sir?
First of all, violent protesting is one thing. A right to speak is one thing. Violence of any kind, no matter who it is coming from, is wrong, and people should be held accountable. Burning down automobile lots, smashing windows, setting buildings on fire. But here's the deal. I've condemned every form of violence, no matter what the source is, no matter what the source is. The president has yet to condemn, as you've probably noticed, the far right and the white supremacists and those guys walking around with the AK-47s. And not doing a damn thing about them. This is absolutely, look, his own former press secretary, Kellyanne Conway, said, I'm paraphrasing, chaos and violence are good for our administration. They're good for us. President talks about in Joe Biden's America. I got to remind him, he may be really losing it. He's president. I'm not the president. This is Donald Trump's America. You feel safer in Donald Trump's America when he incites these kinds of things? The idea is it's wrong no matter what the source is, where it comes from. I condemn it all, and people should be held accountable. But, folks, I'm waiting for the day when he says, I condemn all those white supremacists. I condemn those militia guys as much as I do every other organizational structure. And, by the way, Chief, when you put that badge on and you walk out the door, you have a right to come home to your family safely. Period. Period.
All right.
A lot of protest.
Wilkes-Barre. That's what it was. So I'm pretty sure he didn't answer the question. He went off on a different tangent. And there's lots that we could go with there, and we don't have a ton of time for it. But let me say this is a former law enforcement officer that Biden says he remembers. There's no way he does. That was definitely staged. Just like there was
vitality test.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 15 or 16 Democrats to 3 Republicans asking questions. The whole thing, very, very easy for Biden, which again, I don't think it's going to help him come to debates. He's not getting tested here. But what you're former law enforcement, you know, tons of people in law enforcement. What do law enforcement officers out there think of Trump and how he has handled and responded to the law enforcement community?
You know, something very interesting has happened in this election cycle. Usually there's a pretty large contingent of, you know, the police force and police as a whole that vote Democrat, maybe, you know, probably 30%, if I'm guessing. I'm thinking that's pretty accurate from the numbers I have. You know, usually there's a split. There's people that go both ways. This year, every single cop I talked to, cop family, cop supporter, they understand that a vote for Biden is not a vote for the police. You know, it's the defund the police movement that he supports, all of the chaos that they have yet to really talk badly about until this week because of polling. The DNC has already, you know, all come across against rioting all of a sudden this week because they realize they're getting destroyed for it. I think the police know. I think the police know that Trump supports them, that he has their best interests. He actually is a law and order president. You're seeing these associations and unions endorse him left and right. That usually doesn't happen. The NYPD union usually does not endorse a presidential candidate. They did it this year because, honestly, cops feel like it's lost if Trump doesn't win, and law enforcement will never recover to where it is now.
Yeah. Well, and you listen to everything he says there, and most people, I think, well, a good portion of people listen to Joe Biden try and speak, and they hear through the lies. Like, it's easy. Democrats are always really, really good at talking points and getting them across, but you know, if you, when you look at the stats, you look at the data, you look at the actions surrounding them, they never do that. And that's a point that I was going to make too, is look at what endorsements does Joe Biden have from police? Like, he's talking a great game. I'm for law and order. I'm for cops. You deserve to go home, which of course is very true. But his actions prove otherwise. His 47 years of failed service, he's done nothing over that time. He's taken forever to critique and come out and say that the violence is wrong and defend law enforcement when they've been under attack. So, you know, don't believe Joe, folks out there listening. You shouldn't. If you're watching the show, you probably don't. But don't believe him. And look at the endorsements, because it's an astounding number that are behind President Trump. Because like you just said there, Ray, they know what's on the line. This is crazy. We've never seen so much on the line. And I hope that people out there get it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been telling people, anyone who will listen to me, is this year, literally, if you do support the police, if you actually want law and order on the streets, even if you don't like President Trump, you should vote for him, because a vote for Biden is taking away the law and order, and we won't recognize our streets after his term, or Harris's term, or whoever it is after him, right?
Yeah, that's a scary thought. Yeah, it really is. We're talking law enforcement here today. You talk law enforcement all the time. Tell people a little bit about your show, the Thin Blue Line Show, and then you've also got Coffee with Cops.
Yeah, sure. Thin Blue Line Show. Basically, I sit down with people in my law enforcement industry, and just, it's like an interview format. Recently, we had a sheriff who was getting recalled out of Snohomish County, Washington, and his recall effort. So it leaks into politics a little bit. The Coffee with Cops show I do with my good friend, retired Lieutenant Randy Sutton, a friend of this show too, I believe. We sit down Mondays, do a live stream, law enforcement news shows on Monday mornings at 8 a.m. And it's a good time. So if, you know, you like watching cops get caffeinated, coffeewithcopsshow.com.
I love it. I love it. Well, thanks so much for your service, man. Thanks for coming by. We always love having you. We'll definitely do it again.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
You got it. All right, folks, go check out those shows. They're awesome. Ray's awesome. You know that by now, though. He's been here. We're going to talk about this Rittenhouse stuff in After Hours today, this school assignment that has everyone outraged down in Texas. We'll get into that. There's a lot more to it than at least one side of the story that's being told out there. If you want to listen to that and you're on the podcast, you can stay right here. It'll roll right into it. If you want to watch it, you can head over to the After Hours section on the YouTube page here. For those of you taking off, we appreciate you watching today. We are excited about next week's shows. Lots of stuff. There, again, is one day that we're going to have a little different programming, but we'll tell you about it in the beginning of the week. Hope you have a great weekend. And remember, folks, it's important that we discuss things fairly. We all have our own ideas. It's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to agree on some things. Kind of just listen to each other, right? It's just normal discourse. But this is my show, and we hope you enjoyed it. See you next week. Welcome to After Hours. So we had to put this segment in After Hours. It's going to be short. We're just going to talk about it for a little bit. But it's got Kyle Rittenhouse's name in it. And you know that big tech out there doesn't like that name. As soon as that name goes on there, you have no shot of monetizing your content, possibly even getting it banned. So we'll see what happens with this one. But I wanted to bring it to you because I think it's really interesting in a lot of regards. So there's a Texas school, and it's W.T. White High School in Dallas. And they are in the news, and there's lots of outrage right now because students were directed to complete an assignment on a hero for the modern age. And they were given choices to choose from. And there's outrage because Kyle Rittenhouse's name was among those listed as a choice to write about. Obviously, Kyle, who shot and killed two people in Kenosha, when running and fleeing for his life after being assaulted, after a person was about to execute him with a handgun, which later came out. Lots of details to the story. We're not going to get back into that. We've talked about it ad nauseum. But you know who Kyle Rittenhouse is. Facing a steep, steep prison sentence. I mean, life plus. And if he can get out of that, a really stiff legal bill. So a mess for him, but he defended himself. And regardless of where you stand on it, he's a polarizing figure. We can all agree on that. So people were outraged that he was on there. But he was on there with a list which not everyone's talking about, with Cesar Chavez, George Floyd. Remember that guy? Nancy calls him George Kirby, but George Floyd to most of us. Gandhi, Malcolm X, and then Another interesting one, Joseph D. Rosenbaum, who's one of the people that Rittenhouse shot and killed in Kenosha. Part of the assignment was to write a biography about one of these individuals. And then the next part was to write an essay and why that individual demonstrates heroism, being a hero to the individual writing the paper. So, as you can imagine, it's caused quite a stir. People are quite upset, Rittenhouse being the first thing. But then you get on there, and like me, okay, well, all right, I get it. People, not everyone agrees. The left loathes and sees Rittenhouse as an awful citizen. The right praises him. There's some on the right, like me, who say you shouldn't have, just don't go down there. Don't get involved in this crap right now. Like, wait. But he handled himself well. He handled himself well. So there's, point being, you get it. Very polarizing individual. So I could see how if that was the only name and then the other people on there were more traditional people, which no one talks about anymore because their schools are broken and corrupt. But if he was the only name on there that was controversial, I would understand some outrage. But he's not. All those names are controversial. George Floyd, how's George Floyd a hero? He's a felon. He's a monster. All this new information is coming out, including him shoving fentanyl in his mouth as he was being arrested there. I mean, he's not sad that he died. I'm not celebrating that. But a hero? Come on. Like, you don't have to think Rittenhouse is a hero either, but if you think George Floyd is a hero, you got another thing coming. Like, bro, you don't understand the world out there at all. Like, the dude is a douchebag. But I guarantee you, a lot of people are going to write on him. They're going to choose him. They should just scrap this whole thing, by the way, because it's going to just keep getting worse. But people are going to write about him. But let's talk about Joseph D. Rosenbaum for a second. One of the assaulters who were chasing down Rittenhouse in Kenosha and ended up, and he was killed. This guy, you've heard all the stories about all these people that were either shot and killed or arrested in conjunction with what was happening with Rittenhouse that night, had rap sheets. They were not good people. Again, not celebrating their death, not saying they should be dead. I'm just saying these are not good people. You look at him, for example, Rosenbaum, and per documents out of Arizona and Pima County, he, Joseph Don Rosenbaum, that's what the D is for, I would say douchebag. He says Don, okay, well, you know, agree to disagree, was imprisoned and made to register as a sex offender involved in the molestation and rape of 5 separate boys between the ages of 9 and 11. So, recap here. Kyle Rittenhouse, controversial, get it. There's two sides to it. But you put all these other people on there and list them as potential heroes, George Floyd included. And then this kid, Rosenbaum, who was killed for attacking Rittenhouse in Kenosha, had a rap sheet and has raped kids in the age of 9 to 11. And the school board or the teacher or whoever thought it was okay to say, you know what? I could see him being a hero to some. Let's put him in there. Let's encourage that type of behavior. If I understand the discourse and the discussion on George, I understand that there's some people dumb enough to not see the stats, facts, and reality surrounding it, and they could see Floyd as a martyr and a hero. He's not. But I at least understand what's happening there and why it's happening. It's a lack of facts. It's a lack of everything, and it's people acting in raw emotion and not thinking. The same thing has happened with Kyle. But how on earth you could come to the conclusion that Rosenbaum is an interesting character and could be labeled a hero is beyond me. It's disgusting. And we don't need people like him on this planet. Like, they don't... I hope no one wrote about him. Golly, I hope they stop this whole thing. But lots of outrage over it. I wanted to share it with you. But anyone who says out there, this is crazy, they put Rittenhouse on an essay about heroes, and I'm a Dem, or I hate guns, or I hate America. Just check yourself understand the details. Understand who else is listed on that list. George Floyd, Rosenbaum. Those are the two that I focused on. You can choose to focus on the others, but those two, awful, awful people. So there's two sides to every story, folks. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for joining us in After Hours. Hope you have a great weekend. Again, we've got several things we're bringing you next week. We'll do a Friday show. There's one day where it's going to be a little different. We'll tell you more about it at the beginning of the week. But again, we greatly appreciate it. Love you like crazy, and we'll see you next week.